Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ, Chapter 3. Repentance. How shall a man be just with God? How shall the sinner be made righteous? It is only through Christ that we can be brought into harmony with God, with holiness. But how are we to come to Christ? Many are asking the same question as did the multitude on the day of Pentecost, when, convicted of sin, they cried out, "What shall we do?" The first word of Peter's answer was, "Repent," Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. At another time, shortly after, he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Unless we turn away from it in heart, there will be no real change in the life. There are many who fail to understand the true nature of repentance. Multitudes sorrow that they have sinned, and even make an outward reformation because they fear that their wrongdoing will bring suffering upon themselves. But this is not repentance in the Bible sense. They lament the suffering rather than the sin. Such was the grief of Esau when he saw that the birthright was lost to him forever. Balaam, terrified by the angel standing in his pathway, with drawn sword, acknowledged his guilt lest he should lose his life. But there was no genuine repentance for sin, no conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, exclaimed, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood," Matthew 27:4. The confession was forced from his guilty soul by an awful sense of condemnation and a fearful looking for of judgment. The consequences that were to result to him filled him with terror, but there was no deep, heartbreaking grief in his soul, that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God and denied the Holy One of Israel. Pharaoh, when suffering under the judgments of God, acknowledged his sin in order to escape further punishment, but returned to his defiance of heaven as soon as the plagues were stayed. These all lamented the results of sin, but did not sorrow for the sin itself. But when the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened, and the sinner will discern something of the depth and sacredness of God's holy law, the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. John 1:9. Conviction takes hold upon the mind and heart. The sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feels the terror of appearing in his own guilt and uncleanness before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. The prayer of David after his fall illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin. His repentance was sincere and deep. There was no effort to palliate his guilt. No desire to escape the judgment threatened inspired his prayer. David saw the enormity of his transgression. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He longed for the joy of holiness, to be restored to harmony and communion with God. This was the language of his soul. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 14. A repentance such as this is beyond the reach of our own power to accomplish. It is obtained only from Christ, who ascended up on high and has given gifts unto men. Just here is a point on which many may err, and hence they fail of receiving the help that Christ desires to give them. They think that they cannot come to Christ unless they first repent, and that repentance prepares for the forgiveness of their sins. It is true that repentance does precede the forgiveness of sins, for it is only the broken and contrite heart that will feel the need of a Savior. But must the sinner wait till he has repented before he can come to Jesus? Is repentance to be made an obstacle between the sinner and the Savior? The Bible does not teach that the sinner must repent before he can heed the invitation of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. It is the virtue that goes forth from Christ that leads to genuine repentance. Peter made the matter clear in his statement to the Israelites when he said, Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. We can no more repent without the Spirit of Christ to awaken the conscience than we can be pardoned without Christ. Christ is the source of every right impulse. He is the only one that can implant in the heart enmity against sin. Every desire for truth and purity, every conviction of our own sinfulness, is an evidence that His Spirit is moving upon our hearts. Jesus has said, "I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." John chapter 12, verse 32. Christ must be revealed to the sinner as the Savior dying for the sins of the world, and as we behold the Lamb of God upon the cross of Calvary, the mystery of redemption begins to unfold to our minds, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. In dying for sinners, Christ manifested a love that is incomprehensible, and as the sinner beholds this love, it softens the heart, impresses the mind, and inspires contrition in the soul. It is true that men sometimes become ashamed of their sinful ways and give up some of their evil habits before they are conscious that they are being drawn to Christ. But whenever they make an effort to reform from a sincere desire to do right, it is the power of Christ that is drawing them, an influence of which they are unconscious works upon the soul, and the conscience is quickened, and the outward life is amended. And as Christ draws them to look upon His cross, to behold Him whom their sins have pierced, the commandment comes home to the conscience. The wickedness of their life, the deep-seated sin of the soul, is revealed to them. They begin to comprehend something of the righteousness of Christ and exclaim, "What is sin that it should require such a sacrifice for the redemption of its victim? Was all this love, all this suffering, all this humiliation demanded that we might not perish, but have everlasting life?" The sinner may resist this love, may refuse to be drawn to Christ, but if he does not resist, he will be drawn to Jesus. A knowledge of the plan of salvation will lead him to the foot of the cross in repentance for his sins, which have caused the suffering of God's dear Son. The same divine mind that is working upon the things of nature is speaking to the hearts of men and creating an inexpressible craving for something they have not. The things of the world cannot satisfy their longing. The Spirit of God is pleading with them to seek for those things that alone can give peace and rest, the grace of Christ, the joy of holiness. Through influences seen and unseen, our Savior is constantly at work to attract the minds of men from the unsatisfying pleasures of sin to the infinite blessings that may be theirs in Him. To all these souls, who are vainly seeking to drink from the broken cisterns of this world, the divine message is addressed: "Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. You who in heart long for something better than this world can give, recognize this longing as the voice of God to your soul. Ask Him to give you repentance, to reveal Christ to you in His infinite love, in His perfect purity. In the Savior's life, the principles of God's law, love to God and man, were perfectly exemplified. Benevolence, unselfish love, was the life of His soul. It is as we behold Him, as the light from our Savior falls upon us, that we see the sinfulness of our own hearts. We may have flattered ourselves, as did Nicodemus, that our life has been upright, that our moral character is correct, and think that we need not humble the heart before God, like the common sinner. But when the light from Christ shines into our souls, we shall see how impure we are. We shall discern the selfishness of motive, the enmity against God that has defiled every act of life. Then we shall know that our own righteousness is indeed as filthy rags, and that the blood of Christ alone can cleanse us from the defilement of sin, and renew our hearts in his own likeness. One ray of the glory of God, one gleam of the purity of Christ, penetrating the soul, makes every spot of defilement painfully distinct, and lays bare the deformity and defects of the human character. It makes apparent the unhallowed desires, the infidelity of the heart, the impurity of the lips. The sinner's acts of disloyalty in making void the law of God are exposed to his sight, and his spirit is stricken and afflicted under the searching influence of the Spirit of God. He loathes himself as he views the pure, spotless character of Christ. When the prophet Daniel beheld the glory surrounding the heavenly messenger that was sent unto him, he was overwhelmed with a sense of his own weakness and imperfection. Describing the effect of the wonderful scene, he says, "There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Daniel chapter 10, verse 8. The soul thus touched will hate its selfishness, abhor its self-love, and will seek through Christ's righteousness for the purity of heart that is in harmony with the law of God and the character of Christ. Paul says that as touching the righteousness which is in the law, as far as outward acts were concerned, he was blameless. Philippians 3:6. But when the spiritual character of the law was discerned, he saw himself a sinner. Judged by the letter of the law as men apply it to the outward life, he had abstained from sin. But when he looked into the depths of its holy precepts and saw himself as God saw him, he bowed in humiliation and confessed his guilt. He says, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Romans chapter 7, verse 9. When he saw the spiritual nature of the law, sin appeared in its true hideousness, as his self-esteem was gone. God does not regard all sins as of equal magnitude. There are degrees of guilt in his estimation, as well as in that of man. But however trifling this or that wrong act may seem in the eyes of men, no sin is small in the sight of God. Man's judgment is partial, imperfect, but God estimates all things as they really are. The drunkard is despised and is told that his sin will exclude him from heaven, while pride, selfishness, and covetousness too often go unrebuked. But these are sins that are especially offensive to God, for they are contrary to the benevolence of his character, to that unselfish love which is the very atmosphere of the unfallen universe. He who falls into some of the grosser sins may feel a sense of his shame and poverty and his need of the grace of Christ. But pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. The poor publican who prayed, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," Luke chapter 18, verse 13, regarded himself as a very wicked man, and others looked upon him in the same light. But he felt his need, and with his burden of guilt and shame he came before God, asking for his mercy. His heart was open for the Spirit of God to do its gracious work and set him free from the power of sin. The Pharisee's boastful, self-righteous prayer showed that his heart was closed against the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because of his distance from God, he had no sense of his own defilement. In contrast with the perfection of the divine holiness, he felt no need, and he received nothing. If you see your sinfulness, do not wait to make yourself better. How many there are who think they are not good enough to come to Christ? Do you expect to become better through your own efforts? Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? then ye may also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. There is help for us only in God. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities, or for holier tempers. We can do nothing of ourselves. We must come to Christ just as we are. There is help for us only in God. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities, or for holier tempers. We can do nothing of ourselves. We must come to Christ just as we are. But let none deceive themselves with the thought that God, in his great love and mercy, will yet save even the rejecters of his grace. The exceeding sinfulness of sin can be estimated only in the light of the cross. When men urge that God...
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Sometime we have to stop the board, stop the clip from playing by playing another song. So that's why you heard the music, because to find the repentance is usually way down the line. So just play another song and stop it. So I just want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us on At Enlightened Ministry. And I would like to open up with prayer. Let us pray. Lord in heaven, Lord, we come to you once again. We are so grateful, Father, that you have blessed us to be able to have this prayer line 3 times a week. And dear Father, we ask that you touch the hearts of your children, Lord, that we can come together and share and just testify and just show the love of Christ and what you have done for us this week. So now, Father, as I lift up my brothers and sisters on the prayer line, I'm asking you to bless each and every one that come to join and help each one to share what God has done for them. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity that you blessed me to host. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to lead and guide me, keep me, and help me, Lord, to be the example for you on this prayer line. So I want to thank you for blessing prayer line and keeping this prayer line as we come together to fellowship. So thank you once again and bless your holy name. And I thank you for your son. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you, Father, for all the blessing that you bestowed upon us, allowing us to get through the Sabbath. And we had a peace and a restful day. So thank you, Father. Now bless the reading of your word. Bless all the brothers and sisters from far and near, Lord, that is listening on this prayer line. And we thank you once again in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And once again, brothers and sisters, we want to thank you. And I'm just going to read something from Maranatha. Most of the time, this Sunday is end time event. So we read in September the 14th. It says, the time, just give me, okay, I'm reading September the 13th, the close of probation passed unnoticed. And the scripture is 2 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2. It says, but of time and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And this is what the spirit of prophecy is sharing with us. It says the righteous and the wicked will still be living up on the earth in their mortal state. Men will be planning and building, eating and drinking, all unconscious that the final invocable decision has been pronounced in the sanctuary above, before the flood. After Noah entered the ark, God shut him in and shut the ungodly out. But the 7 days, the people knowingly not that their doom was fixed. Continue their careless pleasure, not that their doom was fixed. I'm reading on the same line. Pleasure loving life and mock the warning of the impending judgment. So says the Savior, shall also the coming of the Son of Man be silent, unnoticed, as the midnight thief will come the decisive hour which marks the fixing of every man's destiny. The final withdrawal of mercy offered to the guilty men being lured to the fatal security to be awakened only by the outpouring of the wrath of God. The Lord in judgment will at the close of time walk through the earth. Lord have mercy. The fearful plague will begin to fall. Then those who have despised God's word, those who have lightly esteemed it, shall wander from sea to sea and from north even until the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. The ministers of God will have done their last work, offered their last prayer, shed their last bitter tears for all rebellious churches and the ungodly people. The eye of Jesus looking down the ages was fixed upon our time when he said, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in thy day, the things which belong unto peace, it is still thou they, O church of God, whom he had made the depository of his law. This day, let me make sure, I want to make sure you can hear me. This day, the things which belong unto peace, unto thy peace, it is still thy day, O church of God, whom he has made depository of his law. This day of trust and probation is drawn to a close. The sun is fast western. Can it be that it will set and thou wilt not know? The things which belong unto thy peace, must the irrevocable sentence be passed, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. That is Luke 19 and verse 12. And brothers and sisters, by God's grace, we pray that he doesn't pass us by, because as the scripture says, the close of probation pass unnoticed. We are looking for the coming of Christ, and that's the Maranatha. That's what it says. So I just want to thank God for his reading, and I will begin to open the line. If you like to press 1, and I can open the line for my brothers and sisters. And I'm just thanking God for the reading of his word, because he has given us this prophecy, brothers and sisters, and reading this and to know this is to love God, and God is to love us, because he's given us the word that we won't be surprised, and that we won't be surprised at anything that happened in these times. So I just want to thank God for his all of the people that join us tonight, and we ask him that you press 1. We got both. We ain't got but 1. But we're asking, if you like to share, please press 1 and your line will be open. Let me make sure you can hear me. Amen. And I'm going to, okay, amen. Let me open 518-744. We're going to open your line. Can share. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening the line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Hayne, New York, and praising the Lord for a beautiful day that we've had today. Wow, he is so good to us. We don't realize how good he is to us. Even I praise him, and I still don't realize how good he is to us. But, he has given us life for another day, a mouth to praise him, and eyes to see his goodness. And it's just an amazing thing. I was listening to the reading that was going on, and it was just a really good day. I love that reading that you had playing there, sister. And, I just thank the Lord for his goodness to me and my family. I talked to my parents yesterday, and they are doing well as they can at their age. Trying to get settled in their house, it's hard even when we're younger, and they're not young anymore. So please keep them in prayer. And last weekend we were down in Connecticut visiting with family from Florida. They all came up for my brother-in-law's birthday, which he turned 80, and he has stomach cancer, and he does not look well. He's on chemo, and he just looks quite his health looks quite poor. So I just had my wife, niece, my brother-in-law's name is Bill, and his daughter, Joyce, has breast cancer, and so she's on chemo right now, and she looks like she's feeling pretty poorly, too. So I just want to lift up Bill and Joyce because of their cancer. I would like them, to know the Lord. Bill, my brother-in-law, he was raised Catholic, and something happened when he was much younger, and he does not believe in a loving God, and he will not even talk about it. I've tried to talk to him about it before, and he just does not want anything to do with it. I feel that, his mother died when he was quite young, and I think that had something to do with it. But I'm just praying God will reach him before it's his time to go. With his stomach cancer, he could go at any time. And I was just looking for opportunities to witness to the family. And my wife had some opportunities, and so I was praising God for that. Just please keep my family in prayer. We had a wonderful service at the Kingsbury Church this past, or yesterday, which was Sabbath. And, it was just a beautiful, gorgeous Sabbath. My young friend John came over, and we were doing some studying in Romans. He has a friend of his that is a pastor of a local church here, a Sunday church, and John is trying to witness to him about the Sabbath and about how God has not changed his law. These Sunday preachers, most of them believe that, the Sabbath will change to Sunday, and that the Ten Commandments, even though they are a good rule to follow, are no longer binding to it. So John is trying to, trying to look up verses that we can give to him to show him that God's law is binding, and it's only binding because his law is his character. He cannot change his character. He cannot delete his character. And we just want to show this young preacher this, that there's more to God than we can ever imagine. And so we're just trying to point him in the right direction. I told John that we can't preach to him. We just give him the scriptures that we have found, the reason why we use those scriptures, and then we let the Holy Spirit do the work, because we cannot convict anyone of the truth. So please pray for the young friend John as he is trying to witness, and pray that I will have wisdom to, as we search the scriptures, that we will come up with some relevant scriptures for this time, so that he will want to get to know God even better than he knows him already. Just thanking the Lord for his goodness, sister. God is good. Thanking him for this prayer line. And each person that calls in, please continue to pray for me, and I will be praying for you. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Brother Rick. You know, I, as you was mentioning about the brother not understanding the Sabbath, it's okay. There's many, many don't understand. And, you know, at this time we're living in, you know, God is so good and patient with all of us. Because at this time in this world, you know, ain't none of us is 100% without sin. So the brothers and the people that fall short, we all fall short, the Bible says, and come short of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we can't be preaching to people. We just got to live that life. And I said to myself, Lord, help me not to always trying to preach to somebody, because I fall short in many ways. So don't let me preach, but let the light shine, as the Bible talks about, letting the light shine.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, Brother Rick, that light has to shine for that brother, and one day God is going to wake him up, just like he did for
Amen.
You, for me, for anybody that, you know, and but still, we still got to pray, because the Bible says we all sin and come short of glory. So it's Brother Ray always tell me, he say, honey, it's a lifestyle. So I just got to just always pray, and we always praying for Jarvis and Ashley, your family, all our family. We just lift up, because you know the time is coming when God's word will, because he say his word will not be mocked. It will surely come to pass. So we just got
Amen.
To stay faithful and just lift up our voice and give him what's due to him. He wants worship. He wants faithfulness. He wants obedience. So by God's
mm-hmm.
grace, we pray that he continue to work in us his will.
Amen.
And, you know, and from there, we just thank God for all that he's doing for us. And I'm telling you, Brother Rick, when he wake us up every morning, God is faithful to us. We are the one that's
yes.
slacking. So I just want to thank God for that. And let's see. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing, because we know that we need to have that fellowship one with the other. And I had not called you in a while, but I'm sure it's glad you're on here tonight and to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've been very busy and working. And that's what we've been doing, lifting you up in prayer. And I know you've been lifting us up in prayer. So thank you so much for
Amen.
Coming and joining us tonight. And you have anything you wanted to share? Anything else? I heard the request in prayer.
Yes. No, nothing at this point, sister.
Okay. Well, I'm going to lift that up in prayer for you right now, because it's not many.
Amen.
And people been kind of slow at coming on, so I'm going to just ask God for this prayer that you requested. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, Father, Brother Rick has asked for prayers for friends and family. And dear Father, as you have heard his request, Lord, you know that the person he's praying for, Lord, you know their heart. You know what they have need. You understand them. So, Father, we just can lift them up and pray, Father, that you will touch their heart, lead and guide them, give them strength, Lord, wherever they fall short, Lord, because that's all we know is to just lift others up in prayer, our brothers, sisters, friends, family, all the ones that need you, Jesus, because we know that we ourselves, you know, we say we love you, and we say we keep your commandments. And yet, at the same time, Jesus, we know we need your blessings. We need your strength. We need your wisdom, your understanding. We need it all. So now, Father, we pray for they don't know you. They don't want to accept the Sabbath or whatever. Father, you know these people, and you know whether or not they're going to accept your word, because sometimes the Bible says at the 11 o'clock hour, there's many going to come in. And then the Bible tells us, don't let no man take your crown, because people coming in at the last hour. So, Father, we're asking you this evening to bless us tonight, Lord Father, with your holy word and with everything, Lord, that we trust in you and believe in you. Help us, Lord, to stay faithful. Lead and guide us. Keep us, Lord. Bless my husband. Bless Brother Rick, his wife, his children, Lord, and bless Sister Powell, Lord. She's there healing from her surgery, Father. Oh, Father, bless her children. Father, we pray for Sister Tamika, Lord, as you've been blessing her in her place, Lord. I'm asking that you keep it, Lord, Father. You provide there, and that she would be able to keep and be able to have a place of peace and serenity. And Heavenly Father, we also praying for Sister Brenda, as Sister Brenda's house is going up, Lord. I'm asking that you would please help the people to build with a stability and a sturdiness, Lord, because the trailer's going to be high up. And Father, I'm asking you to bless Sister Brenda during this time, Lord. Don't let the hurricanes or nothing come this way, Lord, while they're putting up her house. And Lord, allow them to finish it, complete it, and also to get her in it, because they are there on borrowed time at the other place. So please be with them. And also, Lord Father, we pray for Brother Eli, as he always praying for Brother Shaq Eden. He has moved to another job, and he has been feeling not so good about that, Father, because he had someone to talk for him. So, Father, help him. Help him to trust you. And, Father, we also pray for all our other brothers and sisters, Sister Katie, Lord, Father, and her children. Father, we ask that you would keep them. Sister Barnaby, Father, we are lifting her up to you, Father, always here praying and just talking to you for all of us. And Father, we, Sister Stephanie, Sister Sister Carla, Brother Eli, Brother O'Neill. Father, so many, Lord, that's been on this prayer line. Brother Udy, Lord, Father, his family. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless them and help them in their business. We just ask that you touch each and every heart, everyone that's been on this prayer line. Lord, I'm asking you to continue to look after us and continue to warn us of your word and how we are to stay faithful. So we thank you. Bless us and keep us tonight, even the word we will hear. So thank you, Father, once again. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, yes, Brother Rick, as God is able to hear and answer your prayers, oh, your mother and father also, because it's such a blessing to be able to hear how our elderly is just striving and making it in these hard times, and because COVID and all kinds of sickness, and yet God has blessed the elderly people to still get by, because it's sickness and all kinds of things, disease, and yet they are still strong. So I thank God for that, for your mother and your father. So bless, Lord bless them. So I just want to just say this again, Brother Rick. I'm grateful to all of the blessing that you do for Advent Light Ministry, and you continue to be blessed as God working in your behalf. And I know it is God that bless you, because you always had good intentions when you do the setting up the tents and providing even the money for most of this when we go out to do this ministry work. Amen? So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So, yes, and I just want to share, we haven't had no one else join us yet. So I want to just read this, Brother Rick. It talks about the scripture is our safeguard. And by the time, by hoping that we will get more than join in. You know, there's a lot of things going on after people come through on the Sabbath. Some people got other things they're doing and the reason why they don't join. But praise God, I pray that each and everyone is safe, and I pray that each one is blessed, you know, even though we may not hear from them, but may God be with them. So I'm going to read this. It's Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, are they all not ministering spirits sent from the minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And it says, so long as the people of God preserve their fidelity to him, so long as they claim by living faith of Jesus, they are under the protection of heavenly angels, and Satan will not be permitted to exercise his hellish art upon them to their destruction. But those who separate themselves from Christ by sin are in great peril. That is serious. Satan is now more earnestly engaging in playing the game of life for souls than at any previous time. And unless we are constantly on our guard, he will establish in our hearts pride, love, selfish, love of the world, and many other evil traits. He will also use every possible device to unsettle our faith in God and in the truth of his word. If we have not a deeper experience in the things of God, if we have not the thorough knowledge of his word, we shall be beguiled to our ruin by the error, the foundation of many, because they have not learned to discern the truth from error. Our only safeguard against the wiles of Satan is to study the scripture diligently, to have an intelligent understanding of reason of faith, faithful to perform every known duty, the indulgence of one known sin will cause weakness and darkness and subject to use the fierce temptation. We are opening the doors of the heart of Jesus and closing every means of entrance of Satan. We are daily obtaining clearer light and greater strength that we may stand in Christ righteously. Are we emptying our hearts of all selfishness and cleansing them of preparatory to the receiving of the latter rain from heaven? The work of overcoming is a great work. Shall we take hold of it with energy and perseverance? Unless we do, the garment will not be taken off from us. We need never expect that these will be torn from us violently. We must first show a desire to rid ourselves of them. We must seek to separate sin from us, relying upon the merit of the blood of Christ. And then in the day of affliction, when the enemy presses us, we shall walk among the angels. And that is the safeguard. Safeguarding means studying your scripture and letting the scripture, because when I believe, when I think about how our Father says, you know, that we are to search the scripture and study them diligently. And when we study that scripture and the Holy Spirit make it known Brother Rick, sometime that scripture ministered to our heart, and we got to say, Lord, help me to examine myself. Because the scripture don't, it talk, you know, a lot of people think it's talking to someone else, but if I'm reading that scripture and I'm studying that scripture is speaking to me.
Yeah,
so by God's grace, Lord, let the word minister to me, my heart, and help me to turn from my wicked ways. And that's what God wants us to do, because this thing is not about me saving nobody, because I can't save nobody. So I just thank God for that. So let me just go into the line and see if there's anyone else. So by God's grace, that's Brother Rick. I say that's just you and I. By God's grace, that's it. So the Lord is, but the Bible says, where there are two or three, he's in the midst, isn't it?
Amen.
He's in the midst. So if there's, and right now, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to offer just a short prayer, and we're going to just play. We're going to play a script that I was looking at. And
okay.
Yes, I'm playing the script that I was looking at earlier, because Brother Akeem won't be here tonight.
Okay.
Say that again. Hold on, Sister Carla is calling me. Brother Rick, Sister Carla is on, and my computer, I need to refresh it. That's the problem. Give me just a second, Sister Carla. I'm refreshing it. Okay. Give me just a second.
Amen. I'm able to unmute, Sister.
Oh, sisters and brothers, I'm sorry. My computer didn't show no hands, and everybody I see it. Okay. Thank you, Sister Carla, for calling me to let me know. So go ahead. Your line is open already.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Sister Leola. Praise the Lord. God is good. You know, sometimes we think we're alone, but there's others. But, you know, like you said, the technology, it will show nothing. But even then, the angels are with us. You know, God said he'll never leave us or forsake us. So I heard the prayer, you know, and I heard your comments. So praise the Lord. God is good. He's faithful. Even when we're not, when we're weak, we're tempted and distraught, he is always faithful. And I just wanted to read something from today's devotion. It said, Christ is not divided. But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And the eyes cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 through 21. Because men are not of the same stamp of character, this is no reason why they should draw apart. If we are children of the heavenly King, we shall not be at such variance that we shall stand in one another's way. It is by the Lord's order that his servant have various gifts. It is by his appointment that men of various minds are brought into the church to be laborers together with him. We have many different minds to meet, and different gifts are needed. God's servants are to work in perfect harmony. I thank the Lord that we are not all exactly the same. While we are all to have the same spirit, the spirit that dwells in Christ, the Apostle John was not the same as the Apostle Peter. Each was to subdue his peculiarities and soften his temperament that they might help each other through belief in the sanctification of the truth. So praise the Lord for this devotion and this reading. Say that we're all different, but in Christ we are one, and he wants us to bring that oneness which is in him. You know, when everything is subdued and we're under his control, we can come and unify in as one and doing the work of God. So praise the Lord. Thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening my line. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, because I just thought that Brother Rick, and then when I, because I refreshed it and it just didn't work, but thank you so much. And everybody's hand was up. So sisters and brothers, I will open your line. Thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing and calling me just to let me know. I'm opening the next line for 843-206. I'm opening your line, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen. Sister Tamiko? To you? I'm going to come back to you, Sister Tamiko. And I'm going to open the line, 985. Brothers and sisters, you have time. You have time. You can share.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his grace and his mercy that brought us through. I would like to read a script, a devotion prayer. Dear God, we invite you into our hearts and are eager to pursue a strong relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for these words of encouragement, because we need to get a stronger relationship with him, and we always need him in our heart. That's where I love keeping him. Every time I pray, I keep him with me. So I thank him for following me and being with me, because he follow all his children. He know where we're at all times. He know what we're doing at all times. The Lord. So there's no running and hiding, speaking and hiding. So I just thank him, and we ask him to forgive us the many sins. And I just want to ask for prayer for my family, prayer for the Advent Light Church and all their missionary work. Prayers for the all the other four corners of the United States. Prayer for those that the tornadoes and hurricanes have hit. Those outside, those in the nursing home, those in the jail, wherever they may be. We just ask the Lord to just keep us and continue letting us pray on this prayer line one for another, and keeping our prayers will go a flowing and keep lifting up his names and his songs. Amen. Brother John. Grandbaby's always holding him up. So you can go ahead and move on. They always hold him up.
Amen. So thank you, Sister Brenda, for coming on.
Yes, here you go. Me right
okay.
here.
Amen. Okay.
So, Brother John from Louisiana, hello to everyone. Trying to get the kids straight just now. So finally got them together. But, yeah, it's a blessing. Yep, see another day.
and be on the prayer line right here for my brothers and sisters. And thinking about some about those spiritual laws I was thinking about. I'm thinking about how you can't break them. You can't break any spiritual laws, you know. Because, like, God know what you're doing. And just like remember, like Sister Leola said, like on her vehicle, it says about the Ten Commandments and stuff. And those are like regular laws, and I say spiritual laws. They're both. So you can't break either one of them. It'll come back on you like karma or something. And like there's special spiritual laws a lot of people do in the dark. They think they get away, but you know that God sees it and it comes back on you too. So God, be careful with those spiritual laws and the regular laws, you know. You have to focus on doing the right thing so nothing negative come back on you in this world, in this lifetime. So that's all I have to say. I wanted to share. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's right, Brother John. You can't break the laws because the law, just like a speeding ticket, it'll come back on you. It's the law of the land. And God's law is even more important. The Bible tells us the law of God is more important than any law. If you're going to obey anything, obey God's law. But God wants us to obey the law of the land also. So I want to allow in the Lord to really minister to you in learning more about him. Amen. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you, Sister Brenda, as I was praying that God will help you and Brother John with your home getting it ready. And may God keep the hurricanes and tornadoes away. And sisters and brothers, Louisiana, every year, Louisiana have had a tornado somewhere around between August 25th through the first of the month. And we don't have a tornado coming near us right now. So God has been so good to us in Louisiana that these storms has been, and just the other day when Sister Carla and I were supposed to be on the line, there was a little storm came, and I text Sister Carla and say, but it was like a wind storm, and it shook our trailer. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. But give or take another 10 or 15 minutes, it kind of toned down, and I just thank God for that, you know, that he keep us safe. And so thank you, Brother John, for that. Amen. So we're going to open the next line, and that's 857. We're going to come back to you, Sister Tamiko. 5, your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Miola, for opening my line. Brothers and sisters, hello, beloved. How we do, beloved? God is good, beloved. He's worthy to be praised. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And Sister Miola, I like to thank God for his love and his mercy because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I have a prayer request, Sister Miola. My prayer request is to lift up my mother in prayer. Don't forget to lift up my mom in prayer. And Sister Miola, my dear sister, don't forget to lift up Brother Shaq in prayer too, because Brother Shaq left Bay Cove and he have a new job. Sister Miola, I'm so proud of Brother Shaq, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, you know it's hard for me, Sister Miola, because I miss him, Sister Miola. I was Sister Miola, I was that, dude, Sister Miola. I say in my heart, I say, Lord, I say, God, please, God, come bless Brother Shaq, Lord, with his new job. And Sister Miola, don't forget to mention that on the prayer line don't forget to mention on the prayer line that tell everyone that Brother Shaq have a new job. And Sister Miola, I would like to thank Sister Miola, Brother Shaq, too, for helping me. I would like to thank God for Brother Shaq, Sister Miola, because Brother Shaq's very loving. He's very kind. He's Sister Miola. He's standing up for me, my dear sister. And Sister Miola, I like to thank God for him, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, you know, sometimes it's hard for me when I am going to miss him, Sister Miola. I'm going to miss him so much. So please lift him up in prayer. Lift up Brother Shaq in prayer, and tell Sister Tamiko to lift him up in prayer. Sister Miola, don't forget to mention that too, Sister Miola, to Sister Tamiko too. When you open our line, mention that to her and tell her that Brother Shaq have a new job, and tell her that it's hard for me. You know, tell everyone on the line. Okay. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. We know Brother Eli. Brother Eli is such a dear brother. He's been with us for a long time, and we know that he has a very loving heart. And when he has a brother or someone that helped him, he just get close to people, and he, and when they leave, we understand, Brother Eli, that you can miss him. So, and we're going to pray for that. But let me just thank my brothers and sisters once again. We want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining Advent Light Ministry. And we also thank our brothers and sisters that's in other countries that join us and listen on this prayer line. We ask him that you would keep us in prayer. And if you would like to support this prayer line, you can support this prayer line by sending your donation to Brother Rick. Sometime you can get the number. You can get the number. The phone number is. Let me get it for you right quick. It's 31. Let me get that number for our brothers and sisters, because sometimes somebody might want to donate to Advent Light Ministry. So let me just get that for you right quick. If you like to donate to Advent Light Ministry, the number is 319-527-6240, and you can just mention it on the prayer line if you like to donate, and one of us will be glad to help you if you don't mind. So thank you, brothers and sisters, from calling from all over or supporting this prayer line. We do appreciate you, and may God bless you and your family. So we're going to open the next line for our sister, and that's 843-206. We're going to open your line. 843-206, your line is open. Are you there on the line with us, son? So we're going to open. I see Sister Barnaby. She did not get a chance. But Sister Barnaby, I know that you like to have a word of prayer. You like to sing a song. You have not pressed one, but I can open your line if you like to. But if you would like to sing a song or do a prayer, just a second. Amen. Amen. So let me open. Sister Barnaby, I'll come back. Sister Tamiko called me, so let me open her line. I didn't hear her say hello. Sister Tamiko, are you there? Sister Tamiko, I believe I'm thinking everybody could hear me. Sister Tamiko, I cannot hear you. Just give me just a second. Maybe you need to Give me just
Hello?
A second.
Hello,
okay, I can hear you now. I can hear you. Amen. You can go ahead. Sister Tamiko, I could hear you saying anything now. Your line is open. I think something is wrong with your phone because we cannot hear you. Hold on a second. Amen. 843-206, your line is open. Okay, something is wrong with her phone. Let me just see if you can hear me. Hello, Sister Carla, can you hear me? Give me just a second.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Sister Carla, you can hear me?
Oh, I can hear you, Sister Leola. I'm having a problem with the phone. So sorry about that.
Okay.
Amen. I'm back now. Sorry about that. Very confusing. I would like to read Psalms 121. Amen. God, the help of those who seek him. It's Psalms chapter 1, verse 21. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at the right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil, and he shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. So I just praise the Lord because every time I called on the Lord for help, he was always there. He always rescued me from all type of trouble. And I'm just so grateful that we have the Lord in our life because he truly loves us with an everlasting love, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. So I thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you all, and I'm asking for prayer for my children, my family, and also for this prayer line. Yeah, that my prayer line. I'm lifting you all up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for, it's been a time that to get you through. God is good. So let us open the line for Sister Vanity also. So we just want to thank you for trying and keep trying because I tried, you tried, and it just was having problems. So I just want to thank you for having that patience. And thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for your patience. So we're going to open the line for Sister Bonaby, and her number is 518-650. Are we opening your line?
Yes. Good evening.
Okay.
Thank you for opening my line. I am on the line from about 7 o'clock.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yes, I try to push the button about 4 times. And
I'm going to have to get internet.
I hear you from you were on the line, but I don't know. I don't know. Mm. You wasn't hearing me, but I was hearing you because I was calling out to you and you wasn't hearing.
So go ahead.
I will sing of Jesus' love, sing of him, who first loved me for he left bright worlds above and died on Calvary. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise. My heart shall give a sigh that might live, I will sing his love to me. Oh, the depth of love divine, earth or heaven, can never know how that seems. As dark as man can be made as white as snow, I will sing of Jesus' love and endless praise. My heart shall give me a side that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Nothing good for him I've done, how could he such love bestow, Lord, I own. My heart is won, help me now my love to show. I will sing of Jesus' love and endless praise. My heart shall give, he has died, that I might live. I will sing his love to me. And I'm going to read two verses out of Psalms 98, verse 1 and verse 5. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm had gotten him the victory. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalm, of a psalm. Holy and eternal Father, creator of the heaven and the earth, Lord, we come before you this evening, God. Nothing in our hands we bring, unholy, nothing good. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Because of your grace and because of your mercy, because of your love and your compassion, O God, we are here. We are not consumed. Because your mercy never fails. It is due every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, you see our need. You see our trials. You see our problems. You see our troubles, O God. They are greater than we think. Lord, there is nothing we can do without you. With you, all things are possible, O God. We are like the chaff which the wind drive away. But, oh God, we put ourselves into your hand this evening. Lord, please help us to focus on you and you alone, oh God, and to do the things that you want us to do. Lord, the things that we are doing is not what you want us to do. The things that we should do, we are not doing, and the things that we should not, that's what we do. Oh God, we come before you this evening, Lord, with a grateful and a thankful heart. Because you have kept us from morning until now. And now is the hour that we need to come and give you thanks for your keeping care and for your tender mercies. Oh God, I put each and every one of us on the prayer line, oh God. Sister Tamika with her family, oh God, I put them before you. I'm asking you to build a net around them and to keep them from the enemy. Lord, open doors and provide for them. Brother Eli, oh God, and his mother, Father, I put them before you. I'm asking you to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings so that they may not have room enough to receive it. Oh, God, I hear he's talking about his co-worker who got a new job. Father, I put him before you this evening, Lord. I am asking you to open doors for him and provide for him, oh, God. Let your holy angel tabernacle around about him, oh, God, and support him and give him all the health and all the strength he needs. Oh, God, I put Sister, the opening, you know, hold her before you, Lord, Sister Stephanie, and all those who come on this prayer line. Heavenly Father, I put Sister Powell into your hand, oh, God, and I put Sophia into your hand. I'm asking you to be with them in a special way. I'm asking, oh, Lord, to anoint Sister Powell eye with eye salve, oh, God, so that everything maybe what you want it to be. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I put her, all our children into your hand, my God. You know them. You work with them, oh, God. draw them closer and closer to you. Father, give them all the blessing they need, Lord. Open the windows of heaven and pour blessing upon them. And pour blessing upon their children and their grandchildren, O God, so that there may not be room enough. Lord, bless all of us on this line as we come Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday, Friday, and Sunday night, O God. Also, on Sunday and Sabbath, we are on the line sometime. So, Father, please, Lord, heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, open shelter for the homeless. Freely you receive and freely you give. Lord, I put each and every one is here higher over the world in diverse places, O God. So many people are hurting, so many are suffering, so many are hungry, so many need you, Lord. Please, Jesus, send your angel, O God, to tabernacle around about each and every one. Beat back all the darkness and let your bright light shine so that others may see you shining through us. Lord, continue to bless us. Continue to anoint us. Continue to purify us, O God. Take away self, take away pride, take away sin, take away unrighteousness, and let your Holy Spirit take full control. Heal our body, O God. Cleanse our body, purge our body, anoint our body, purify our body, O God. Lord, we need you. Please, God. Please, Lord, have your way in our life. Take full control of us, O God. Lead us in the path of righteousness. Search us and know our heart. Try us and know our thought. And God, if there be any wicked way in us, lead us in the way everlasting. Sing. Sing praise unto you. We sing with joyful hearts, O God. Help us to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. Lord, help us to do what you do. Go where you go. See what you see, O God. Walk where you walk. And to be a shining light. Father God, as we come to the end of another day, we know not what tomorrow brings. But God, you is the future. And because you hold the future, we are dependent on you, Jesus. Because you is the only one who know what will happen tomorrow. So Father, as we go from day to day, oh God, give us health. Give us strength. Keep us from sickness. Keep us from unrighteousness. Keep us from all that is unlike you, Lord. Build an edge around us and keep us from the enemy who's like a roaring lion trying to devour us. But God, because you made us, you fashioned us into your likeness. You know what our destiny is. So thank you for everything you have been doing, Lord, what you're doing now and what you continue to do. Be with our children, our grandchildren, our brothers and our sisters. And all our family, we put them before you this evening. Jesus, have your way, Lord. Let your will be done. I pray and I give you thanks. Lord, be with the speaker. Whatever the speaker do this evening on this line, God, let it not be done from the speaker, but let it come from your throne. Father God, thank you for everything. Thank you from morning until now. Lord, as the meeting is over and we go to sleep, we're asking you to send your guardian angel to watch over us and bring us back Thursday evening on this line, O God, rejoicing and giving you thanks for your goodness and your mercy. I pray and I give you thanks in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Mr. Barnaby. Oh, excuse me, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you. I've been taking, Sister Carla, I took some melon. I just want to share this with my brother that I'm still lingering with this cough. All the other pain and stuff going away, but the cough. And Sister Carla sent me some onion and lemon and all the, and I just made it this evening because I just wasn't feeling right to go to the store. So I went there and I got the honey and I made it today. So I'm taking it. So I still have a cough. And it still gets my throat, not like I have to cough, but I'm going to be better. So I'm taking the cough medicine. So I just want to thank Sister Barnaby. And, but hopefully I was talking to my husband this evening, brothers and sisters. Hopefully I'm going to look up and see what it cost me to get internet on my iPad so I wouldn't have the problem with my internet. So hopefully I'm going to try this tomorrow and see. So by God's grace, hopefully we can have a better system, you know. So thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being patient. So, and we're going to ask for one more prayer. Excuse me. I'm going to open Sister Carla. I'm going to close out my line and open Sister Carla if she have time to offer us another prayer.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray, brothers
Thank
and
you,
sisters.
Sister.
If there's a time to pray, this is the time. So we can have a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us. We thank you for another day. A day has passed and a new day has begun, because from evening to evening was a new day. And we just thank you. We just want to glorify and magnify your name, because you are worthy to be praised. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Even now, I'm just lifting up Sister Leola, that you will touch her right now, Lord, that the coffin will subdue, that she'll be able to talk and all the mucus, whatever is in her, will come up with the natural remedy, the mullein, the onion, the garlic, the ginger, the lemon juice. We all need to continue to be steadfast with the remedies that we have, the simple things in our kitchen. Bless my brothers and sisters. I don't know what they're going through, but you know, and you said that you'll never leave us or forsake us. Help us to hold on to you no matter what. You said even though mother and father, brothers and sisters will forsake us, but you will never leave us. And help us to pray for them when they're going through distress and turmoil, that we will intercede on their behalf as Moses intercede on the people's behalf, knowing that we are peculiar, we are priests, we are ambassador. We are your disciples, and you have called us for such a day like this. We are living in a stupendous time where we're seeing everything that the Bible foretold, and also your servant, Ellen G. White. And we just thank you, knowing that whatever you said is true, whatever you say is righteous, whatever you say shall come to pass. So we trust in you with all our hearts and mind. We surrender our children and grandchildren to you, our family and friends. We surrender everything to you, that you will take us and continue to mold us and shape us into the man, woman, and child that you would have us to be. Be with those that are sick, those that are going through loss of jobs, health issues, loss of loved ones, whatever it is that the devil is contending with us about, Lord, we surrender it to you. And we ask you to help us to be victorious over each and every sin that so easily beset us. Bless our brothers and sisters that's not here with us tonight. May you be with them, whatever they're that's going on within their life, whether it's job, whether it's healing, whether it's tending to family or helping others. We ask that you will bless them. We thank you again for those that are joining us via internet. May you continue to hear their voice, their prayers as they talk to you as a friend, and commune with you one-on-one. Answer it according to your will, not our will, but thine will be done. Again, bless the speaker at the appointed hour when he's going to bring the message. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and help us to have ears to understand and a heart open to accept the truth and to apply to our life and to share it with others so that everyone can be blessed from your spoken word. We thank you and we praise you. We magnify and we glorify your name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. Brothers and sisters,
amen.
We're going to be playing a message from Dwayne Lemon, and it's on the sanctuary lesson, husband and wife. We're going to listen to that tonight. And thank you, Lord. Bless this minister will be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, brothers and sisters.
Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Lord, for the blessing to be able to come together and to study your words of truth. We thank you, dear God, for the things that you're showing us as it relates to the home. And Lord, I pray that you will please be with each and every one of my brothers and my sisters as we study together. We also ask that you'll please be with all the other speakers, their seminars as well. May your spirit be felt in those places as well. May we all draw closer to thee and to one another is our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the realities of what's taking place in the home today is we find that there's a lot of separation. A lot of separation. People are either separating one from another physically through divorce, and then you have others who are separating legally, even though they have not gone through divorce, but nevertheless they have thought that they cannot coexist under the same roof. Then you have others who live in the home, but they're like ships passing through the night. They don't even talk to each other and so on. And none of these are a picture of heaven. You think heaven is a place where nobody talks to each other? Brothers and sisters, heaven is definitely not a place where no one talks to each other. Heaven is a place where there's tons of communication. And so it is that God says, that's what I want inside of the home. I want communication. I want happiness. I want all of these beautiful elements that we know makes up what are in our minds constitutes heaven. Now, did God have a plan for issues of separation? Did he have a plan for that? He did, because does God understand separation? Yes, he does. Now, go to the book of Isaiah 59, and let me show you how I know that God understands separation. You see, in the beginning of time, God and man had communion one with another. In the beginning of time, God and man had communion one with another, but you'll find that what took place was there was a separation. And the Bible tells us exactly what caused the separation, and we find it in Isaiah the 59th chapter in verse 2. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 2. If you're there, please say amen. The Bible says, but your iniquities have separated. So what did the iniquities do? It says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And it says, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So the Bible makes it very clear that it was iniquity, it's sin, that causes what? A separation. Now, did God want to once again have a reunion with mankind? What was the chief model that God used to have a reunion with mankind? What was it? Amen. Go to the book of Exodus 25. God had a chief model that he would use to help us understand how he was going to once again be reunited with his people. And it's interesting because in truth, when we understand the sanctuary, you will find that we can even understand the ministry of Jesus. It is possible to study the life of Christ, but without understanding it through the light of the sanctuary, we can miss the light of Jesus. There are many people today. I was at an organization called Miracle Meadows. And when I was there working with the staff and the students, it was interesting because when I was there, I asked them a very important question. I said, listen, you know, how can we know what really makes Seventh-day Adventists who they really are? And one of the ways we found out is we looked at the sanctuary. Now, in the sanctuary, you have three areas, right? What are they called? What are they called? The courtyard. What's the next one? Holy place. What's the third one? Most holy place, right? Now, in order to get into the most holy place, you had to go through where first? You had to go through that courtyard. So the courtyard. Now, in the sanctuary structure, you find that it was God's plan of how he was going to get rid of sin. Did you know that? Notice how the Bible brings this out. Exodus 25. Look at what it says. Exodus 25 and verse 8. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. The Bible says in Exodus 25 verse 8, it says, let them make me what? A sanctuary that I may do what? Dwell among them. So what's the reason, according to the verse, why God made the sanctuary? He wanted to dwell among us. Now, the word among in the Hebrew means in. So when God said make a sanctuary, he was saying, I want this to be a model structure on how I'm going to make man's heart my home. So therefore, it says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among or in them. Amen. Now, watch this. Now, question. Abiding somewhere and dwelling somewhere, same thing or different? What do you say? How many by the raise of hands says different? Raise your hand. Abiding somewhere and dwelling somewhere. Same thing or different? How many say different? Okay. How many say same? How many say I have no idea? All right.
Question. If I invited you to my home and I said, and you, let's say you rang my doorbell, you showed up at my house, and then I said, welcome to my dwelling place. What am I talking about? My home, right? Now, let's say you showed up to my house and rang my doorbell again, and I said, welcome to my humble abode. What am I talking about? I'm still talking about my home. So can dwelling somewhere and abiding somewhere be synonymous? Yes. So therefore, I want you to catch this. God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among / in them. And then I want you to see now what John 15 says. Go to John 15 and look at what the Bible says. So you can really, I want us to really understand this is the whole purpose of the sanctuary message. John 15. John the 15th chapter. You find that the Bible spells it out very clearly. In John 15, we can go ahead and consider verse 4. In John 15 and verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell or abide in them. And the verse says that we also abide in him. So there's a relationship going on. God is coming down unto us to bring us up to where he is. We are abiding in him. When you abide in him, you don't look at things the same. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you what I mean. In Ephesians, the second chapter, you find that when we're abiding in Christ, things are different now. The Bible says that God wants to dwell among us, but we are to also abide in him. And now look at how the Bible spells this out in the language of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 6. In fact, we'll look at verse 5 and 6. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, the Bible says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath done what? Raised us up. So remember, God meets us where we are to bring us up to him. It says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is why it is not enough for God to just come down and dwell amongst us. We must also abide in him. When we abide in him, we are brought up to where he is, and our minds are now dwelling on heavenly things. Are you following so far? That's why abiding in Christ is very imperative, because if we are abiding in him, that means our minds are not on the things of this earth anymore. Our minds are not focused on this earth. We will finally understand what it is to be pilgrims passing through. Are you following? So therefore, keep this in mind. God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And when God dwells among us, we also abide in him. And what is the end result of abiding in Christ? 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Notice what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. What is the whole purpose of the sanctuary? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, and verse 6. If anybody teaches the sanctuary different from this point, they are not teaching the sanctuary. Notice what the Bible says. This is the whole point of the sanctuary services. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 6, it says, whosoever abideth in him, what's the next two words? Sinneth not. The whole purpose of the sanctuary is that God may dwell among us, that we may abide in him, that through abiding in him, we will stop doing the things that cause the separation. The purpose of the sanctuary message is not simply to make us intelligent on understanding articles of furniture in its type and anti-type. It's deeper than that. God wants us to enter into an experience. Now, I told you that I was at Miracle Meadow. We taught this there. The students were really getting it, and it was powerful. But watch this. Here's something that we learned. You know, this is what makes us different from any other denomination in the world. Where do we find that God deals with sin and gets rid of it? Is it in the outer court, the holy place, or the most holy place? Which one is it? Amen. Very good. The most holy place. Now, in the outer court, what happens? What's the significant thing that happens in the outer court? The sacrifice. The lamb has to die, right? Now, who does the lamb represent? Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, right? Now watch this. Here's the question. In the outer court, was the plan of salvation finished? Was it finished? So then here's my question. Was the plan of salvation finished at the cross? No. So then why do people keep saying that the plan of salvation ended at the cross? Do you know the number one differentiator between the Seventh-day Adventist Church and any other denomination in the world is we believe that the plan of salvation continued beyond the cross, where everybody else believes the plan of salvation ended at the cross. And that's why even when people study the life of Jesus, if they don't study it in the light of the sanctuary, they can even misinterpret Christ's ministry. So when I say that God gave the clearest model and example of how he's going to deal with the separation issue, there's no clearer example that he gave us than the sanctuary. And when he gave us the sanctuary, when Jesus came, even Jesus was subject to follow the plan of salvation according to the sanctuary model. That's why even when he died right on time in connection with the sanctuary services. When he ascended right on time and was inaugurated as high priest, and the signal of it came down through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Everything happened right on time, from Passover to Pentecost, and the list goes on. Even Jesus in his ministry was subject to how the plan of salvation is revealed through the sanctuary. Do you understand why Seventh-day Adventists, you and I must become seriously articulate on the sanctuary message? It's God's plan on how he's going to deal with the separation issue. Now, we started our message talking about how separation is very real, even in the home. So the same way that the sanctuary was designed to be a solution, in fact, go to Psalm 114. Let me show you something. Psalm 114. I wondered, why did God use this language when he was talking about families? You know, when you look at the tribe of Israel, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Israel, you know, when you think about these tribes, all these tribes were just simply made up of families. Is that right? All these tribes, they were just made up of family members. Now, when you look at this, I want you to see how God referred to the family members or the family structure. He says in Psalm 114, and I want you to see what the Bible says as we consider verse 2. In verses 1 and 2, it says, when Israel went out of Egypt, it says, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, it says, Judah was his what? It says, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. So you find that God even uses the language of nations to also refer to a sanctuary. He says that Judah was my sanctuary, that place where I was going to dwell. And so you'll find that when we look at the home structure, we can also look at it as a sanctuary. And when we understand the sanctuary message, we understand that God gave it to us to show us how he was going to deal with the separation issue and to become one with mankind. Amen? So that means then that if we then can look at the home front and learn some lessons from the sanctuary, could it be that the sanctuary can teach us lessons on how the home can be united rather than separated? Yes? Amen. Yes. Now, we are not living in the time of the courtyard. We are not living in the time of the holy place. We are living in the time of what? The most holy place. Now, in that most holy place, there was something very powerful that God wanted to do. What did God want to do in the most holy place? Talk to me. He wanted to do what? All right, so he wanted to cleanse the sanctuary. Is that right? He wanted to get all the sin out of the sanctuary. Now, what has to happen in order for God to get the sins out of the sanctuary? It's a very serious question. I'm not asking a trick question. You should be able to know this. What does God have to do to cleanse the sanctuary from sin, to get all the sin out of the sanctuary? What does he have to do? What does he have to do? All right, go to Leviticus 16. Go to Leviticus, the 16th chapter. You sound like you're not sure. So let's go to the book of Leviticus 16. Let's let the Bible speak to us so that we may know. Because again, the same way God wants to deal with the sin issue in the sanctuary is the same way he wants to deal with the sin issue in our home sanctuaries. Are you following? So watch this. In Leviticus, the 16th chapter now, let's notice what the Bible says. Leviticus 16. And notice what it says in verse 16. Leviticus 16, verse 16. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the what? The uncleanness of who? Children of Israel. Question, why was the sanctuary dirty? It was because of the sins of who? Of the children of Israel. So if God wants to have a clean sanctuary, what does he have to do? Say it like you know it, brothers and sisters. What does God have to do in order to clean the sanctuary then? He got to clean the children up. He has to get sin out of the people so they can stop sending sin into the sanctuary. The whole reason the sanctuary got dirty was because the people were making it dirty by their choices of sin. Are you following? It's the only reason why it got dirty. That's why, look at what it says in verse 30. This verse 30 has to happen first before Christ can cleanse the sanctuary. Notice what it says in verse 30. Leviticus 16 and verse 30. The Bible says, for on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to do what? To cleanse you, that ye may be clean from how many? From all of your sins. Once God can get his people to enter into an experience with Christ where they have complete, total victory over sin, which means they don't go back to it anymore, that's when he can finally say, the sanctuary, clean. That's the work that Christ is waiting to accomplish right now. We're the holdup. Brother Waller talked about over 167 years now, 168 years. Here it is that Christ has been stuck in the most holy place. And the only reason why is because of us. He wanted to finish the work. It's us that's slowing him down. Why? Because we love sin more than Jesus. We're loyal to what we love. So what Jesus wants to do is he wants to reveal himself to us in such a way that by beholding him, we would become changed. And as a result of loving him, we would keep his commandments and stop breaking them. Are you following so far? I want you to write this down in your notes. One of the clearest statements in the spirit of prophecy of how an individual enters into the experience of victory over sin. Please write this down. This is a very powerful quote. I want you to commit it to memory, and I want you especially to enter into the experience as I'm striving to every day. It says in Desire of Ages, page 668, one of the most powerful quotes that I've ever read in the spirit of prophecy on victory over sin. It says in Desire of Ages 668, when we know God as it is our privilege to know him, our lives will be a life of continual obedience. Did you know, right now, our lives are not lives of continual obedience, right? Our lives are like a roller coaster. One minute we're obedient, 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 disobedient. And then we go obedient, 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 and disobedient. And it's all this roller coaster up and down of broken obedience, right? God says, my solution to that is, I'm quoting, when we know God as it is our privilege to know him, our lives will be a life of continual obedience. Here's the next part of the quote. It says, through an appreciation of the character of Christ, through communion with God, sin will become hateful to us. That's your solution to victory over sin. It's right there. It's not that man cannot have it. It's just that the way we're trying, we keep failing. When you know God as it is your privilege to know him, your life will be a life of continual obedience. And when you appreciate the character of Christ, and when you and I have true communion with God as we should, it says sin will actually become hateful to us. And that's what gets people to stop sinning. I want you to think about anything that you hate right now. Anything you truly hate. You can even think of foods you hate. You know, one thing I hate, okra. I don't like okra. You could put a big plate of okra in front of me. I'm not even 0.1% tempted to eat it. Are you following? You know why? Because I hate it. It is absolutely disgusting to me. So I don't struggle not messing with okra. Why? Because I hate it. Can't stand it. Through an appreciation of the character of Christ, through communion with God, sin will become hateful to us. And when you hate something, you don't want to mess with it. You won't want to mess with it. You're going to cling to Jesus. And so you'll find that God says, this is what I want to do. In this sanctuary structure, I want to get rid of sin. And it is done specifically in the most holy place. And Christ says that I need the cooperation of the people. So there is no victory over sin without cooperation from the human agent. You heard Brother Waller talk earlier today about Hebrews 11 and verse 7, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible. It talks about righteousness by faith in one verse. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, built an ark, prepared an ark. It says, to the saving of his household, whereby he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Righteousness by faith is not that divinity does it all and you and I just do nothing. Neither is righteousness by faith that we do it all and ask God for help when we need it. Righteousness by faith is cooperation between humanity and divinity. God provides the power. God provides the resources. God provides everything you need, but you and I must exercise it. That's your job. That's my job. So therefore, when we look at this principle, even in the sanctuary, we learn that there has to be a cooperation. God can't clean the sanctuary until he can get the people to cooperate with him. Amen? All right, good. Now, understanding that, remember, Judah was considered to be like a sanctuary. Now, because of that, that means that there are some lessons that God wants to teach us that we can actually learn from the sanctuary that can help us with the separation issues that we have in the home. Husbands who don't talk to wives. Wives who don't talk to husbands. All of these different problems. And I'm especially going to focus on husband and wife. The reason I'm doing that is because they're the foundation of the home. They're the foundation of the home. We're told in Adventist Home, page 16, it says, to a large extent, it says the husband and wife or the mother and father, they are the ones that will determine the atmosphere of the home. And then it goes on to say, and when husband and wife harbor difference against one another, it says the children will partake of the same spirit. There are many a times that our youth are suffering with demonic oppression because of what the parents allowed to come into the home. Don't ever forget that the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says that the devil walketh about as a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, when's the last time you study how roaring lions attack animals? You will find that, number one, they function in stealth mode. They try to blend in the environment, right? Number two, when the lion finally takes its launch, does the lion go after the strongest gazelle or does it go after the youngest and weakest one? It always goes after the youngest and weakest one, right? So when we open the doors of our home to satanic influences, what do you think the devil's doing? He's looking at the parents or the husband and wife arguing with each other, and he moves them aside, and he looks for the weakest one in the house, which is typically the children. And he goes after them, and he takes possession of them. So therefore, we must be mindful of this, and this is why I'm going to focus on the husband and wife specifically, dealing with lessons from the most holy place. Now, in inspiration, we're told something very powerful. Look at this quote here. We are told there is a what circle? It says there is a sacred circle around every family which should be preserved. And it says no other one has any right in that sacred circle. Does that include mother-in-law? Absolutely. The Bible says in Genesis 2:24, it says that these two shall cleave one to another and they shall leave their home and become one flesh. Once that husband and wife get married, mother and father-in-law, it is no longer your business what goes on in that circle. You got to let them go. You got to let them go. You have to let them go. Amen. Don't be at variance with God, brothers and sisters. That's a losing battle. Don't fight God. God says that's a sacred circle. Nobody else belongs in there. Nobody else. That's the immediate family circle now. We have to understand. That's why whenever someone gets married, that question is, who gives this person away? When you're giving that person away, that means that all of those times where you were able to get in their business and understand every little thing about them, you can't do that anymore. You're giving them away. You're handing them off into their new home now. You need to let them solve their problems and not run to you to get every little problem solved and bring you in their business. Families, there's a sacred circle. And no one else is allowed in there. Keep them out. Keep them out. Now, who is this sacred circle really talking about? Look at the rest of the quote now. The husband and wife should be what? All to each other. You see, if the husband and wife are all to each other, that's more the reason not to let anybody else in your business. Because the husband and wife are all to each other. Are you following? All right? So therefore it says, the husband and wife should be all to each other. It says the wife should have no secrets to keep from her husband. Did you know that? Do you know that there's not supposed to be any secrets that a wife has that their husband doesn't know about? And that your friends know about, co-workers know about, and other people know about? There's not supposed to be any secrets. It goes on to say, the wife should have no secrets to keep from her husband and let others know, and the husband should have no secrets to keep from his wife to relate to others. This is God's instruction. Sacred circle. You remember that in the most holy place, it was a very intimate connection. It was just the high priest and God, the presence of God right there. Nobody else was allowed in there. If anybody else tried to come in just to take a peek of what's going on in the most holy place, they would die. You don't enter into that sacred circle. Is that right? And so it is that you'll find that the most holy place, we can learn lessons. There was a very intimate connection between the highest aspect of the human family, which in our case is the husband and wife. In the Bible, it was the high priest. And so you'll find that now it says that they are to be all to each other. Now watch this. The heart of his wife should be the grave for the faults of the husband. Did you know that? So often we talk about our husband's fault. You know, my husband does this. My husband does that. My husband does this. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says the dead know not anything. Your heart is supposed to be a grave for your husband's fault. And only Jesus has resurrection power. We should not be trying to resurrect the faults of others and take it out of the graves of our heart and impart it to other people. Are you following? It says the heart of his wife should be the grave for the faults of the husband. And the heart of the husband, the grave for his wife's faults. Never. How many times? Never. It says never should either party indulge in a joke. Now, did you notice that it didn't say in a series of jokes? It says in a what? In a joke. Go to the book of Ephesians 5. Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter, this is from Adventist Home, page 177. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to see this now. I mean, God is serious when he says not once. I mean, he actually means it. And he didn't just express this through the inspired writings of Ellen White. He expressed it through the inspired writings of the direct Bible. And you'll find that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, notice what it says. It says, be ye therefore what? Followers of God as dear children. And it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling favor. But, now he transitions, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be... once. Let it not be how many times? Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness. So watch this. This is continuing of things that should not be once named amongst the saints, right? Verse 4. It says neither filthiness nor what? Foolish talking nor jesting. Do you see how God is serious? He says, I don't want it to even be once done. And we find that jesting, joking around, this was one of the things that God says, I don't even want this once to be named amongst my saints, especially when you're dealing with the husband and the wife. Never should either party indulge in a joke at the expense of the other's feelings. This is the quotation to back up what Brother Wallace said earlier today when he talked about how husbands don't go around making fun of your wife, talking about she's overweight and this, that, and the other, and so on and so forth. This is the point. Many times people make jokes about these things, and we can do it innocently. That's why God is making us aware of this, so we don't have to do it anymore. Amen? It says, never should either party indulge in a joke at the expense of the other's feelings. Never should either the husband or wife, in sport or in any other manner, complain of each other to others, for frequently indulging in this foolish and what may seem perfectly harmless joking will end in trial with each other and perhaps estrangement. I have been shown that there should be a sacred shield around every family. I remember one time I had a friend who was, his name was Damien, very light-skinned brother. He was a black man, but he was very, very light-skinned. And I remember that Damien and I, you know, we would talk about different things. And because he was very light-skinned, when we were kids, I've known him for years. I mean, we went to high school together. In high school, a lot of people used to call him a white guy. They'd say, oh, white boy, this, that, and the other. And we went to an all-black school. So for him, this was a very embarrassing experience that people kept calling him that because there was all sorts of bigotry and all these problems in our school. Now, I remember that we made jokes about it. We would say, oh, man, you know, we talk about black people and we'd say, well, you know, Damien, you're not part of this, so you can wait over here. And we would always just joke around with him to make it seem like he wasn't really a truly black person because he was so light-skinned. This was wicked. This was wrong. But you know what he did? You know one of the things that motivated us to keep doing it? Every time we cracked that joke, guess what he did? He laughed with us. So therefore, when we would tell the joke and we're laughing, to spare himself from unnecessary embarrassment, he would go ahead and he'd start laughing with us. So we said his laughter is an endorsement. So therefore, we kept doing it. One day, he discovered he had the gift of poetry, and as he was doing his poems and writing them, he wrote a poem called The Diary of a Light-Skinned Black Man. And he said, hey, Dwayne, I want you to listen to this. And I listened to his poem, and he talked about how he was made fun of as a child or as a youth.
Good evening, my book. I mean, sisters and brothers. I'm going to end it there because it's still got 30 more minutes. We're going to play this clip another day. Very educational information, and we're going to just do this another day. I started it late, but it's still got 30 more minutes. So we're going to, like I say, we're going to play this another day, and I just want to not go over the time. So I just want to say God bless. God bless each and every one, and I'm going to play this song as we end our clip for tonight, and I'm just going to play Redeem. God bless you, and you all have a peaceful night rest. Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, His child, and forever I am. Redeemed, and so having Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed.